tables, remain standing for a few more moments. I believe God wants to speak to us tonight. For us to find a place, the conclusion of this service at this altar, to seek God's face, to seek a refreshing of His Spirit in our lives. How many of us, you don't need to raise your hand, but we know we go through dry times in our spiritual life. That's not the will of God. The Bible says that He is with us through the valley of the shadow of death. And when we're filled with the Spirit, yes, there will always be hard times, but there should never be dry times. Because we are promised the rivers of living water. Come freely to drink of the rivers of living water. Luke chapter 11, starting our reading, just one portion of Scripture in verse 24. An intriguing portion of Scripture where it talks about all sorts of interesting things that people like to talk about spirits coming out of people. And it says that when a spirit is cast out of somebody, and if you read the whole context here, it says that, you know, once the house has been swept clean, that the spirit can come back and bring even more. But the text I want to focus on is verse 24 of Luke 11. And it says this: when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Just that first portion of the scripture: when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Another version, the New American Standard, translates the word dry places as waterless places. We know a place that has no water is a dry place. But the Bible says that demons, unclean spirits, Satan roams about looking for dry places. A place where there is no water. That unclean spirits go around seeking to find rest in dry places. Places that are without water. Places that are in drought. And the unclean spirits, they seek to find a place to take rest. There seems to be a connection with this unclean spirit and the spirit world. A very clear connection between the work of Satan and dry places. There is a connection between the devil and the dry, and I want to speak on that tonight. The devil and the dry. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word tonight. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would anoint me as I preach your word. More importantly, anoint our ears to hear what you would say to the church tonight. Let someone's heart be refreshed in the water and the flow of the Holy Spirit tonight. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The devil and the dry. As I said this morning, as I preached this morning, God had been speaking to me about the two things that I was going to preach on today. And in this world today that we live in, there is no doubt that this world is captured. And about the paranormal. Every movie that seems to come out, and even songs that come out, they always seem to focus on the supernatural or the paranormal. Things like ghosts and demons and spiritual activity and haunted houses and zombies. You can barely find a movie these days without that sort of stuff because people are fascinated by the paranormal. People, believe it or not, are fascinated by spiritual things. People will tell you that they're not spiritual, but yes, they are. You'll find them doing all sorts of spiritual things, watching spiritual things, reading spiritual books, even things like Harry Potter and that, just full of witchcraft and things like that. People, I would say, are more spiritually aware and more in tune, as it were, with the spirit realm than they have ever been before. Just this last Wednesday, I went to go and to the headquarters of the Coalition for Marriage, the headquarters of where the no vote against same-sex marriage is being coordinated at. I got to go there. I got to pray with the director, with all the staff, got to encourage them, bring words of comfort and encouragement. I got to speak specific words into people's lives there at that headquarters there in Deakin, right there up above the Australian Christian Lobby. And when I walked in there, the only thing I could say to them is say, we are not in a physical battle. We are in a spirit battle. You see, what sort of spirit would walk up to an old lady holding a sign that says it's okay to vote no and just rip it out of their hands? What sort of spirit would spit on people and swear at them and the vileness that is coming out of people's lives? You see, right now, and I, this has been going on for a long time, we are in a spiritual battle. Our nation is in a spiritual battle. Us as Christians, we are in a spiritual battle. This church is in a spiritual battle. It is clear, very clear, that right now in Australia, everything that we are seeing unfold is part of that spiritual battle that we are in. In the Bible, there are many instances where Jesus Christ encountered and dealt with evil and unclean spirits. I've prayed with people that have had evil spirits. I have cast out demons out of people in Jesus' name. I've seen my dad do it. I grew up with a grandfather that was not afraid to confront the spiritual. I grew up with a mother and a father that weren't afraid. And I pray that God will continue to use me in that area as well. But as Jesus ministered, he was not afraid to confront evil spirits. People were amazed at that the evil spirits and how they submitted to the authority of Jesus. They submitted to the authority of Jesus. They left when Jesus told them, those spirits came out because there is power in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 15, we read the account of the Gentile woman whose daughter was possessed with a demon that was tormenting her. Everyone say tormenting. And through the blood of Jesus, through the power of the word of Jesus, she was released by the power of those spirits. Another example in Mark 9, a father who came to Jesus and he said, my son has a dumb spirit. He couldn't speak for the spirit had overtaken him. And he said, the father said, the spirit tears him. He foams at the mouth. He gnashes his teeth. And I talked to your disciples, the dad said, I talked to your disciples. They couldn't do nothing. The disciples are standing around trying to cast this demon out of this boy, and they couldn't do nothing. And Jesus walks past, and they're all got their hands on him. I don't know what they're doing. They're praying in tongues, whatever else. You know, they're there. The Holy Spirit hadn't been poured out yet, but they're there, and they're praying. They're praying over that young boy. They couldn't do nothing. Jesus walks past and goes, hey, guys, what are you doing? And they said, we're trying to cast this demon out. Jesus said, hey, this demon doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting. And so what did Jesus do? Did he go away and pray and fast? No, he just said to the spirit, come out. And the spirit came out. You see, there is something about having spiritual resources. You don't just pray and fast when you face the battle. You just don't start praying and fasting when you've got someone demon-possessed in front of you. It's too late. You've got to draw on your spiritual resources. You've got to draw on those spiritual reservoirs that you've got in the past. You see, this is why we've got to have a habit of prayer and fasting in our lives. Because if you pray and fast, God will give you power. And that's why David, he didn't defeat Goliath just on a whim. He didn't run into that battle and say, well, I don't know, I'll just have a go at it. And he walked up picking up a stone. No, he killed Goliath with the five stones. And he took one, but he went and got five stones out of the brook before the battle. He was prepared. He had a stone. And we've got to be spiritually prepared. We've got to have some stones in our pouch. When? Not at the time of battle, but before the battle. And so Jesus said to these men, they would have been wide-eyed. He said, this spirit is not going to come out except by prayer and fasting. And Jesus said, come out of him. And the spirit came out. Another one we read in Mark chapter 5 about the demoniac. He was possessed man living among the tombs, living in the cemetery. No man could control him. They tried to bind him. They couldn't. Not even with chains. No man, verse 4 of Mark 5 says, could tame him. He was constantly crying. He was cutting himself with stones. But when Jesus came, this man in the tombs came running. And the Bible said that he worshipped him. And the evil spirits, as Jesus spoke, and they said, let us go and be sent into the swine. Let us be sent into the pigs. And they went into the pigs, and the pigs ran down the hill. There were 2,000 of them. Those evil spirits left. And where did they go? Those evil spirits came out when they hit the water. Where did the evil spirits go? They went back to the dry places. In 2017, throw that next slide up. There is still demonic activity in the world, and we still have power in the name of Jesus. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you. This is Revelation, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. The more spiritual activity we see in the world and the devil coming, attacking against us, coming down, having great wrath, it tells us that our time is short. And he is coming against us because he knows that his time is short. Last Sunday, I preached about hell's trophy room. We've got to be aware that we have an adversary who is seeking whom he may devour, that we've got to be sober, we've got to be vigilant. And some of the things that we are struggling with right now, let me tell you, they could very well be demonic things that you're struggling with. Spiritual attacks, spiritual torment, spiritual oppression coming into your life. Not everything is spiritual, though. Some people, they just make everything spiritual. Sometimes people just have a problem with their flesh. I tell you, the flesh can cause you more problems than any spirit can sometimes. In fact, it's the flesh that opens up the door to the spirit. But don't blame everything on the devil. You see, when the battle is won in the spirit realm, when the battle is won in the spirit realm, we will see victory on the earth. When the battle is won in the spirit realm, we will see victory on the earth. The fight for our families, it is a spiritual battle. The fight for our salvation is a spiritual battle. And that tells me we've got to be praying more than we've ever prayed. A prayerless person, a prayerless marriage, a prayerless family, a prayerless church is going to lose the spiritual battle. And so spiritual warfare is so important. It's just not a concept. Spiritual warfare is not just a concept, but spiritual warfare is about doing it. It's about fighting these battles, these spiritual battles, fighting them on our knees. And somebody say amen. One of the things I love about God, of course, is that he knew what this time would bring. He knew what the last days would bring against us. And God, in his wisdom and God in his goodness, gave us the spiritual armor to put on. And if we're in a spiritual battle, I'll tell you one thing. We would be foolish to be fighting a spiritual battle without our spiritual armor. We would be foolish to be fighting a spiritual battle without our spiritual armor. God has given us the armor. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole. Everybody say whole. I'm going to get really deep for you theologians now. It says put on the whole armor of God. And just for all those that want to go really deep, it says whole. It doesn't say part. Put on the whole armor of God. Every single part. We can't go into this spiritual battle with just our favorite piece of armor. Oh, I love the sword of the Spirit. It is the word of God. Oh, I love the shield of faith. No, you've got to put on, the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the attacks of the devil. We are in a spiritual battle, and we would be fools to go into a spiritual battle without the spiritual armor. There's one thing that opens up our lives to dryness, and that is rebellion. Everybody say rebellion. The Bible says this about rebellion. It says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft. When you live in rebellion against God, you are opening yourself up for spiritual dryness, of course. But with that, the spiritual dryness comes oppression, spiritual torment, even possession. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You see, let's talk about rebellion. And I know we don't like to talk about this in the house of God. We should be talking about nice things. But today in the house of God, we're talking about these things. You see, sometimes we make a mistake and we fall and we say, God, I'm sorry. Yes, I sinned. And God knows our hearts. How many of us have made mistakes since we've been saved? Yep. I got a big hand right up there. Made mistakes. We all make mistakes. And the intent of our heart is that we want to do better. So we get back up and we were deceived and we move on. That's not rebellion. Rebellion is when God speaks to you and you say no. I don't know about you, but one of the most frustrating things about children, when it really gets under my nerves with children, is when they know what to do. And they know what you're asking them to do, and they just say, no. You know, like they're about to touch grandma's antique vase, which is 400 years old, was used by every queen of England, you know, and it's up there on the thing, and they're putting their hand out for it, and mum says, don't touch that, and they look at you and go, psh. Something happens inside of me. The fruit of the Spirit's gone. I start feeling anger. I couldn't believe it. He just looked me right in the eye and just said, no. Well, we may laugh, but sometimes we do that to God. When God makes it very clear to us, when God speaks to us with such a clear voice, and you willingly, this is different than making a mistake. This is different than just tripping up. But when God speaks to you so clearly and you willingly choose to obey, you don't just choose, but you make up some excuses. You make up some logical human reasoning of why you can rebel against God and why it's not your time now and why this has to happen and that has to happen. But the ultimate answer, the ultimate thing is that you are in rebellion. You are rebelling against God, and rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Your pride, in your pride, you have chosen not to submit to God. You have chosen not to repent. You have chosen not to obey the word of God, but rather to do that thing which is wrong. And when you choose to do that, you are in rebellion, and rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Well, that's a bit heavy, Pastor. Rebellion and witchcraft. You're telling me, Pastor, that when God speaks to me through the preaching of the word, or when God speaks to me in my prayer time, or when God speaks to me through the scriptures and I say no, that I'm practicing witchcraft in the eyes of God? I say yes. Because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You see, God hates rebellion, but why would he compare it to witchcraft? God is saying that at its root, rebellion is nothing more. Listen, rebellion is nothing more than choosing to be led by another spirit. Choosing to be led by another spirit. And there are people, I've seen it time and time again, people that have rebelled against the word of God. God has spoken to them so clearly. They know the word of God. They know what God's will is. They know what God's word is. But in their rebellion, they have opened themselves up to becoming spiritually dry. And by becoming spiritually dry, they have opened themselves up to torment. They have opened themselves up to oppression. They have even opened themselves up to possession by spirits. And where did it all start? With rebellion against God. I've seen people in their rebellion against the word of God suffering seriously through anxiety, through depression, sleepless nights, totally exhausted all the time. And if you get to the root of, very often you get to the root of exactly what it is, it's actually a spiritual battle. I tell you, the hardest place to live is to live in opposition to God. It will send you dry. And spirits look for dry places. Saul, in the Old Testament, God withdrew himself from Saul. And God said these words, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. You see, there are dire consequences when we rebel against God. You see, when God speaks to you about things in your life and you refuse When you rebel, you are opening yourself up to demonic attack. Psalm chapter 68 and verse 6 says this, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious, what? Dwell in a dry land. The rebellious dwell in a dry land. So we get back to this man amongst the tombs in Mark chapter 5. Let's read it together. Please turn your Bibles, Mark chapter 5 and verse 6. This is this man amongst the tombs, cutting himself, all this crazy stuff. They couldn't bind him even with chains. Mark chapter 5, verse 6, it says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran. He ran and he worshipped him and cried with a loud voice, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, the spirit answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine or pigs feeding. And the devils besought him. They besought Jesus, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. Jesus told them to go out. And the unclean spirits went out and they entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There are about 2,000, and those pigs were choked in the sea. They drowned in the sea. That was the end of that man's demonic possession. Jesus commanded them to come out. Jesus has all authority. That Gadarene man was saved. Yes, he was in his right mind. Yes, he was delivered. Yet as the swine ran into the water, as those swine ran into the water, a legion of demons went out screaming in terror. Where did those demons go? Let me tell you where demons go. They go back to the dry places, seeking to find rest. And we've got to be so careful, brothers and sisters, that we don't become spiritually dry. There is a river of life that we can drink from. There are rivers of living water that we can drink from. Not just on special services, not just when you're feeling great, but we can go daily and to drink at the rivers of living water. And when I say demons can't stand water, when demons can't stand water, what I'm talking about, they can't stand the water of the Holy Spirit. You see, in the Bible, water speaks of the Holy Spirit. Demons can't stand the water of the Holy Ghost. And when evil spirits come out, they go back to the dry places, because the devil thrives on spiritual dryness. Everybody say dryness. God doesn't want us to be dry. As a pastor, I don't want to see you dry, because when you're dry, you open yourself up to spiritual attack. There are three different types of demonic experience that we can have. Number one is possession. And that's what a lot of people think. A lot of people ring the pastor, they say, pastor, I think so-and-so is possessed, or I am possessed, or something like that. But it doesn't always mean that they are possessed. When someone, and the possession is when someone can't control their body, they can't control their will, they do destructive, they do harmful things, and they often don't even remember what they're doing. Possession. But oppression is something that is a lot more common. Possession is not an internal thing, but oppression is something on the outside. It never ceases. This oppression, this spiritual oppression, comes to try and break down our resistance to just that repeated temptations, repeated persecution from the outside. It's not uncommon. If I was to ask for a show of hands, it's not uncommon that people here today could say, yes, pastor, I've experienced spiritual oppression in my life. How do we deal with spiritual oppression? The Bible says, submit to God. And it doesn't say, fight the devil. It says, submit to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee. Everybody say it together. Submit to God. And then what? Resist the devil. Resist. When you feel your spirit being spiritually oppressed, it's time to resist. It's time to say, no, I refuse. It's time to get back into the Word of God. It's time to get back on your knees. It's time to get back into the house of God and say, I'm not going that way. I'm not going to give in to your oppression. I know you're oppressing me, devil, but I'm resisting you. And when I resist you, you're going to flee. And then there's torment. Everybody say torment. Possession, oppression, and torment. This is this fear. It's affliction, constantly down, constantly. And the Bible says, gird, and having a battle with our minds, gird up, the Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind. There are some things, brothers and sisters, that if you don't control what you focus on, we should not let our mind think about certain things. You see, how do things get into your mind? Anybody know? How do things get into your mind? Through your ears and through your eyes. And so we got to be careful what we watch. We got to be careful what we listen to, because we're opening up ourselves to spiritual torment. And that's why Corinthians says in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, casting down imaginations. Everybody say imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing in captivity, bringing into a cage, bringing under control every thought. Everybody say thoughts. I never thought my thoughts were so important. Bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see, the attack, the torment is the imaginations. We are being fought very often on a spiritual level by imaginations. The enemy will bring in for us to fear things that aren't even there, that aren't even true. A lot of us have been stressed out to the max by, oh, what ifs, or maybe this, or maybe that. Laying in bed wrestling with ghosts and shadows. I heard it, I felt it, I imagined it. You see, the Bible says that we are to cast down imaginations, and every thought, everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. God has not given me. How do we respond to it? God has not given me a spirit of fear. I'm not going to worry. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You see, sometimes we've got to realize that a lot of this torment is coming down to the imaginations, the things that we're imagining that aren't even there. And it is torment from the pit of hell. The physical things affect our spiritual. Spiritual things affect our physical. You see, what produces dryness in our life? Here's three things that produce dryness. And some would say physical, exhaustion and fatigue. How could that cause spiritual dryness? Well, one thing I learned very early on as a pastor is that not everything is super spiritual. A lot of times when you're trying to help someone in the spiritual, when you get to the core of it, it's something physical. It's a job situation, an ailment. Something in the physical has affected their spiritual. And the same is sometimes we can become so physically exhausted. We've got to remember that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We've got to take care of our body. It is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so when you're physically exhausted, when you are spiritually fatigued, the Satan can come against you. Satan can come and it can bring dryness into your life. So we got to be careful of physical exhaustion. Exhaustion, that doesn't mean we just go on holidays all the time. That means we learn to manage yourself. Your body is a vessel. The vessel is not valuable, but the Bible says that we have this treasure inside it. We have this treasure in a earthen vessel. Everybody say earthen vessel. And so you got to look after that earthen vessel. If you are exhausted, if you are wrung out, you're going to find yourself. You're not going to be able to pray. You're not going to be able to worship God. You're going to feel yourself in a state of spiritual dryness. And I know that doesn't sound very spiritual. Oh, look after my vessel. Look after my earthen vessel. No, but keep in mind that we are created beings. We are body, soul, and spirit. If my body is weak, it allows things to get into my mind. How many people know that you stress more when you're tired? More than one person in this church has rung up and been stressed out of their mind. I said, when was the last time you slept? They said, Pastor, I haven't slept. I didn't sleep last night. I said, well, if you went to sleep, you probably wouldn't worry about half this stuff. How many people know that some of the things we worry about before we went to sleep, we wake up and we're like, oh, what was I worrying about last night? I hope that's you, because that's me. I'm not the only crazy one here. But if our body is weak, it allows things to get into our mind, into our soul, and allow things to negatively affect my spirit. Sometimes we're running on spiritually, we're empty spiritually. Giving out but not refueling, not praying, trying to minister, trying to live for God. We're not reading the word, we're not praying, we're not spending time in the presence of God. Yes, we all need to serve, but if we're going to serve, we can't serve out of, we've got to serve out of our reserves. We've got to have something that we can give. You see, Martha was very busy and she didn't take time to refuel. And see, when we're running on empty spiritually, we are opening ourselves up to dryness. And the last thing, and probably the most important and most common thing, is that people are living in an environment that is contrary, that is cold, a cold spiritual environment. And a cold spiritual environment will open you up to dryness in your spirit. Being around the wrong people, being in the wrong environment, negative people, gossiping people, bitter people, you don't want to be around them. I heard a lot of people that say, oh, I got to get all the toxic people out of my life. Well, you better make sure you're not toxic as well. Exposing yourself to the wrong environment, exposing yourself to worldly entertainment, it produces dryness. You see, what you allow in your ears, what you allow, to what you look at, it's going to affect your mind. It's going to affect your thinking. As a man it thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so even unharmful things, we say, oh, well, there's nothing wrong with this. Well, there might not be anything wrong with it, but even unharmful things can sap us of our spiritual strength. And the Bible says that that devil goes about. Evil spirits are looking for a place. Where are they looking? They're looking for a place that is dry. And I've come to exhort this church tonight that we can't allow dryness in our spirit. There is rivers of living water. There are rivers of living water that you can drink from. Don't keep blaming everything else in your life for your dryness, because you can drink. You can drink of those rivers of living water. There is nothing stopping you. The Bible says that we can come freely and to drink of the rivers of living water. If you're here tonight and you feel dry in your spirit, if you feel like you're under spiritual attack, whether it's oppression, whether it's torment, whether it's possession, you see, you've got to start drinking of those rivers of living water, because the devil can't stand a place that is moist. A devil can't stand a place where the water is flowing in our lives. Rivers of living water. My mum's not a doctor, but she thinks she is. When I ring her, it doesn't matter what, I'm sick. I could have lost a leg or something. And she'll tell me, oh, just drink more water, Jonathan. My mum always says that. You got to drink more water. If I tell her I've got a headache, she goes, because you don't drink enough water. Well, maybe it is. I tell her I got a bellyache, she'll say, you need to drink more water. I show a big sore on my arm, she said, well, you know how to fix that? Drink more water. Now, I don't have to tell you, because everybody's telling you you need to drink more water. But the chances are most of us are not drinking enough water. Hydration is so important. It affects our energy levels. It affects our brain function. If you want to get smarter, my mom will tell you, drink more water. Drinking water can prevent headaches. It can treat headaches. It can help kidney stones. You know what, men and women? It can help you lose weight as well. What? How? By drinking more water. It flushes out the toxins. It makes our skin look better. It boosts the immune system. You see, this is what drinking physical water can do for you. But imagine what drinking of the rivers of living water can do for you. Imagine when you take a drink of the Spirit of God, when you get in His presence, when you get a refilling of His Spirit, when you're there speaking in that unknown tongue, when you're speaking in tongues, the Bible says, when you speak in that unknown tongue, you edify yourself, you encourage yourself, you're drinking of the rivers of living water. And there's nothing better than drinking of the rivers of living water. And some of us tonight, we need to take another drink. Hallelujah. To take another drink. You see, there's an old term that they used to use, and I like to still use it. Sometimes we just need a good praying through. Sometimes we need a good praying through. Some of those old pastors, they didn't know much about counseling. They weren't educated. But you could go into their office, you could tell them everything that's going in your life, and they'll just tell you, brother, you got to pray through. What does it mean to pray through? That means to pray through your problem. Pray through until you get the victory. There's got to come a time in our life where we become so desperate in God, when we get on our knees and say, God, I'm not getting up off my knees until I feel the victory, until I overcome this depressive feeling that I'm feeling right now, until I overcome this anxiety, until I overcome this fear, until I overcome, oh God, I'm not getting off my knees until I pray through. I still believe praying through is the answer. I still believe that God is the answer. We've got to throw our excuses out the door and get on our knees again and pray through until we get the victory. And not just for yourself, but for your family, for your marriage. If you've got trouble in your marriage, get on your knees and start praying through. Start committing to God. You know, your little Jesus, meek and mild, come and bless his little child. That's not going to work. A 10-second prayer, tick off your prayer life. Well, if you don't pray, then 10 seconds better than nothing. But some of us, we've been walking with God for a long time. We can't pray more than a minute. About all we do is pray for our food. We've got to get back to the art, as it were, or the discipline of praying through until we get the victory. And see, if we don't pray through, we're going to find ourselves in a spiritually dry place. And let me tell you what happens when you're in a dry place. The Bible says that unclean spirits look for dry places to find rest. John chapter 7 verse 38 says this: He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You see, maybe you're here tonight and maybe you've made a choice. Not to be connected to God, not to be renewed, just to let your heart go cold. Maybe you're here in a dry season. It even happens to men of God. They go through dry seasons. We read of David, we read of Elijah, we read of Job, we read of Jonah. David was dry in Psalm 42 verse 1. He said this: as the deer panteth after the water, so my soul panteth after the Lord. David was saying, I am dry, I am thirsty, I've got to drink of the rivers of living water. When you're in a dry place, you become a target for the enemy. Whosoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of flowing water will flow from within them. The great preacher D.L. Moody, he used to preach about the power of the Holy Spirit all the time. He used to preach about the importance of being filled with the Spirit. And one person come up to him and said, Mr. Moody, why do you place so much an emphasis on being filled with the Holy Spirit? Why do you preach with so much emphasis on the need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit? And D.L. Moody looked back at him. He said, let me tell you why I preach with so much emphasis on being filled with the Spirit. He said, because I found that I leak. The Spirit can leak. That's why the Bible says that we need to be filled. We need to be continually filled, praying in the Spirit. Not just happy with an experience that happened 30 years ago, but to be refreshed. And it says that we can drink of the rivers of living water. How do you keep the enemy at bay? How do you keep the spiritual victory in your life? How do you thrive spiritually? You've got to drink of the rivers of living water. Isaiah 28, 11 and 12 says this: for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. This is a prophecy speaking of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It says this: to whom he said, this is the rest. Everybody say rest. How does that sound? How does the word rest sound to you? It sounds good. There is a rest. This is the rest. What is the rest? This stammering lips and another tongue. The infilling of the Holy Spirit. He was prophesying. This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. But they wouldn't hear. If you're here tonight and you need rest, there is rest when you're filled with the Spirit. If you need to be refreshed, there is refreshing in the Spirit of God. Acts chapter 3 verse 19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come. Where? From the presence of the Lord. And so I've come here to stop the devil's influence in your life. How do you stop the devil's influence in your life? How do you prevent dryness in your life? You've got to go after the rivers of living water. Some of us here tonight need to be filled with the Spirit. If you've never been filled with the Spirit, I tell you tonight, God can fill you with the Spirit tonight. And there's nothing like being filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here tonight and it's been a long time since you've been filled with the Spirit. And maybe you can relate, just like D.L. Moody said, how we tend to leak. And you find yourself in a spiritually dry place. You can drink of the rivers of living water tonight. You can leave this place different than you came in. Lastly, as I close, Mark chapter 5, let's go back there and where we started, talking about this man who was in the cemetery, in the tombs. If our musicians could come. Mark chapter 5 and verse 6, it says this, that this man of the Gadareans, they call him the Gadarean demoniac, couldn't be held with chains. And it says, and always, night and day, verse 5, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. What a state to be in. The Bible says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. He ran and he worshipped him. What I want you to notice with that scripture right there is that this man, possessed with a legion of devils, he worshipped God. He worshipped God before he was delivered of those demons. And so you say tonight, oh, Pastor, I can't worship God. I can't go and get at the feet of Jesus. I got too much going on. Not even a legion of demons could stop this man worshiping God. And the legion of evil spirits couldn't stop this man. You know what he was pursuing? He was pursuing the living water. When Jesus stepped on shore there at that cemetery, he said, you know what? I'm sick of being in the state that I'm in. I'm sick of being in the mountains, the Bible says. He was in the mountains and he was in the cemetery. He was cutting himself. He was tormented. He said, I'm tormented. I'm oppressed. I'm possessed. Here I am in this dry place. And Jesus steps on the shore, and the Bible says that he ran and he worshiped him. Nothing can stop you tonight. No evil spirit can stop you from drinking of the rivers of living water. And so, church, I've come here tonight. None of us ought to leave this place with a dry spirit. It's time to drink of the rivers of living water. Start drinking again of that life-giving water. Let those things that once have died off now, let them come alive again as you drink in the presence of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy, where? In the Holy Ghost. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Where do we get our joy? In the Holy Ghost. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Some of us have got to get back to drinking of the rivers of living water. Let your heart be refreshed. Let's stand all across this place tonight. Lord Jesus, move in our hearts, oh God. Lord, we're hungry for more of you. Come on now, it's time for you to respond. It's time for you to step out in faith and to begin to worship the Lord. You don't have to leave this place the way that you came in. You don't have to leave with a dry heart. You don't need to leave here still tormented and oppressed by evil spirits. You can leave here knowing that you have drunk of the wells of living water. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Somebody, you want to leave the past behind? You want to be delivered? Hey, it's going to come when you start drinking of the rivers of living water. Let His Spirit be poured out in this place right now. Come on, it's time to lift your voice and to praise Him. Somebody can be delivered here tonight. Somebody can be set free. Somebody can be full of the Spirit. You've got an addiction. I tell you, Jesus, come to break that tonight in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Come and drink. Come and drink of the rivers of living water. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Come on, drink. Lift your hands. Lift your hands to heaven and drink of the rivers of living water.